All right, good morning. Well, he is risen. We join with Christians, people who follow Jesus all over this world this morning, in proclaiming that no matter what is going on around us, the same truth remains for 2,000 years, and that is that we serve a living Lord and Savior. For on a real day in history, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, trampling over death by death, proclaiming victory for those who were already in the graves, raising us all up to new life. And so we gather this morning with songs to sing, testimonies to give of a God who is really alive and really on the move and who really makes us live. Would you hear these words from 1 Corinthians 15? But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. Happy Easter, my friends. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning from our own homes to worship you. We thank you that on this day in 2020, Easter is not canceled. It's only scattered into thousands upon thousands of more places than it would be taking place normally. As we invite you into our own sacred spaces, our own homes, to live out your resurrection in us and among us in the very places we dwell. Lord Jesus, we celebrate that you are victorious over the grave, that you have forgiven us of all of our sins, and that you simply invite us to come and to believe in you and to trust in you and to love you. And in so doing, we may get to live too. And so, Father, would you bring our hearts to life today as we sing, as we hear stories from our friends, as we hear stories from our friends in Scripture, as we hear your story spoken by many tongues, that we serve a God who lives. Breathe your life in us anew, we pray. Thank you, O God, for Easter. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you that because he lives, we live too. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture is John 20, verses 1 to 23. A couple other people say how they know Jesus is alive. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Would you pray with me? Living Jesus, through your Spirit, we turn to your living word. And we ask that just as real as Mary saw you and the disciples saw you on that day 2,000 years ago, help us see you today. Would you help us through your word hear what it is you want us to hear? So you might help us be who it is you want us to be. So you will help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The very first testimony of one who could say he lives, Jesus is alive. It happened on that Sunday morning 2,000 years ago. It was Mary who saw him first. She had been there with him until the very last minute on that Friday when his body was taken from the cross and laid in the tomb. And at the second that Sabbath ended, she was right back where his body lay. John says, while it was still dark on that Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb. What was she going to do there? The same thing you've done by the graves of people you've buried that you love with all your heart. She was going to that place to just get as close to him as she could get. She was going to weep. She was going there to let her broken heart just sit in that place for a while on the outside of that tomb where they had laid the body of her lifeless Lord. But when she got there, things weren't as expected. That stone was rolled away. Before doing anything else, she runs off to get some guys. She goes to find Peter and John. It seems that someone has stolen his body, and she's going to need some help from some others to figure it out and get this thing back in place. Peter and John, they run to the tomb. They see it empty too, and then they run home. Why they run home? How could they just leave that place with the empty tomb right there? I don't know, but they did. They ran home. Mary stayed. If we ask her this morning, "Mary, how do you know that Jesus lives?" I believe she'd say, "Oh, tell the rest of the story. He lives because I saw the risen Christ with my very own eyes. After Peter and John left, I mustered up the courage to actually look inside the tomb. And two angels were there, and they asked me why I was weeping. And I said, 'They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him.' And then I turned around and I saw this man, and I thought he was the gardener, and I told him the same thing. I said, sir, if you know where he is, would you just tell me and I'll go get him and I'll make sure that his body is cared for well. And then he said my name, Mary. And the second I heard it, I knew it was him. He's the only one who said my name like that. I always love the way that Jesus said my name. And so I threw my arms around him and cried out, teacher, Rabboni. He said, you can't hold on to me, Mary. I have to go to my father, and you have a very important job to do. You must go and tell my disciples, you know, those ones that just ran home, go tell them that I am alive. Mary, do you know how Jesus lives? Tell us how you know. She would say, I believe because he found me. Though my heart was broken in 1,000 pieces, and though I was hurting more than I had ever hurt before, and though my hopes were dashed and my grief was intense, when I came as near to him as I could possibly come, just to be where he was, he found me. And finding me, he spoke victory over my pain and hope into my tears. And he said, I'm no longer dead. I'm ascending to my Father, victorious over all. Victorious over all the pain, over all the grief. Mary, how do you know Jesus lives? Because he found me on my darkest day. When I drew near to him, he spoke my name and he healed my heart. That's how Mary knows Jesus lives. Did you notice that Jesus didn't give up on those disciples that ran home? That very same night, they're all huddled up, locked inside of a room, afraid of the Jews, it says. The disciples, they had heard from Peter and John by this point that the body was gone. And yet, rather than celebrate, we find them terrified, thinking maybe there's some plot going on out there to further smear the name of Jesus, this supposed king of the Jews, and those who were his known confidants. They were now on the most wanted list. They had no idea what was going on outside of those walls, but they knew that it could be bad, and they felt very vulnerable. And so what did they do? But they hide away, lay low, stay home. Does that sound a little bit familiar this Easter? Hey, terrified disciples, over there hiding out in your locked room, aren't you the same guys who later on put your lives on the line to serve Jesus? Aren't you the same guys who were killed and exiled for preaching his name? Aren't you the ones who eventually go down in history as martyrs who exhibited this great amount of courage in the most intense of times? What changed? What happened to those guys who were hiding out in a dark room somewhere to release them to join our God in his mission in this world? What happened? Can you hear their response this morning? I believe they'd simply say, he found us. The risen Jesus snuck right into our hiding out, scared to death place. And you know, he didn't even knock. He just popped right in. And rather than wait for Mary to figure out where in the world we were hiding and trust that we would be humble enough to accept her word, he just came right to us. disciples, how do you know he lives? Because in our greatest moment of fear, in our quarantine place, the risen Jesus came into our hiding spot and said, oh, there you are. And then, rather than giving us this lecture about what terrible friends we had been, he simply said, my peace I give to you. And then he gave us a new job. As the Father sends me, so I send you. In that closed off hiding place room, he picked up his baton and he passed it on to us, a bunch of scared disciples. He had done his laps and he said now it was our turn. He wanted us on his team. Us cowardly guys trusted with this job of telling the world that he is risen. How do we know? He found us. In our fear, he came to us and he gave us peace and he gave us purpose. And I tell you, from that moment on, we were brand new men, ready to die for him if we had to. Because all of the sudden we got it. We got it. Because he lives. Our dying would only be the beginning of our living too. Because he lives, all fear is gone. The risen Jesus found Mary as she drew near to him in her hurt. And alive, finding her, he gave her comfort and healing and victory. And the risen Jesus found the disciples when they were very far away, hiding in fear, quarantined. Alive, finding them, he spoke peace and gave them a purpose and courage to go out and live. And I must say, the risen Jesus keeps finding me. And changing this heart every single day. You asked this morning, so Jamie, how do you know that Jesus lives? How about I just tell you about the last 48 hours? I hit a low point on Friday night. You see, this pastoring and a pandemic stuff, it's not a lot of fun. And it's hard. And it seems that everything is taking so much longer and so much more energy than normal. And I don't get to see your faces in worship, the very thing that pours life back into me more than anything. And so these last days I've been running on empty, exhausted, totally frustrated with technology. Working late into the nights to pull things off. And then still things sometimes just don't pull off. And so when Good Friday service was so beautiful in this place, but totally unshareable beyond this place, I was done. I had poured out my heart into this service to create this space where God's people might come to the cross. And when I spoke those last words that night, I was so tired and felt that I had literally poured out everything in that place for Jesus and for you, the people that I loved. And then I realized that it wasn't going to be able to get to you. And I just cratered for a moment. And I went home Friday night and I wept. From exhaustion, from disappointment, from frustration with God. I prayed to him all day Friday to carry this technology part of the service because he knew that I was anxious about it. And you know, I really thought he was probably going to take care of it. And when it was a bust, my heart was broken. So yesterday, Saturday, sat in my house for a couple of hours in the morning waiting for God to speak to me. He wasn't speaking fast enough, so I went on a run instead. A long run. And about a mile in, I heard Jesus whisper, so are we going to talk about this? And I said, what? About how disappointed I am in you, God? About how I feel like you should have made that service work because I trusted you with it? About how I'm tired and don't feel like you're pouring into me as much as I need you to? I kept running. Another couple miles down the road, I said, so are you going to talk back to me, God? You got anything to say about where you stand in all of this, God? And that voice that I've come to know so intimately, having journeyed with him for just a few decades now, spoke to my broken heart. After you, he said to me. And I heard his invitation, said, Jamie, tell me more. I know you're disappointed. I know you're frustrated. Beyond that, tell me more about where you still stand after this hard week. Running up the road, I said, well, I know I still love you. Jesus spoke back clear as day, and I you so much. What else? I said, well, I know I still trust you. Jesus spoke to my heart, I will always be faithful. What else? I said, oh, I know I'm never going to quit serving you. Jesus spoke back to my heart, that pleases me so much. It's going to be a good ride. What else? I said, I'm not going to quit pouring myself into a life that helps people worship you, even if it doesn't work sometimes. And I heard him say back, I will pour into you as you pour out for me. It will be worth it. And I said, finally, I'm not going anywhere, Jesus. I'm still going to show up to you. And clear as day, I heard him say to my heart, neither am I. Always with you. In fact, Jamie, I was here first. I found you before you were even looking for me. And I said finally, okay, Jesus, so do you happen to have an Easter message? Because I'm too tired to come up with something new. And he said to my heart, how about you just add a testimony about how you know I live? I said, can this be it? He said, I was hoping you'd ask. You see, I've been here to help carry this thing all along. I'm giving my life to you. Jamie, how do you know Jesus lives? Because less than 24 hours ago, I was in my second mile on Sand Hill Road, and I had just got done telling God how tired I was, how mad I was, how disappointed I was. And then on my eighth mile, I heard my heart say, God, I'm ready to get back to it. Is it time for worship yet? I've got good news to share again of a God of love who defeated the grave and every enemy that steals our joy and our peace along with it. The God who breathed new life into my weary heart and set my feet back on mission with him. And that was just yesterday. We'll have to grab coffee after this whole COVID-19 thing if you want to hear about all the days before that. Because that was just yesterday. Ask me how I know Jesus lives. And I'll tell you, he lives within my heart. He walks with me and he talks with me and he runs up Sand Hill Road and back with me. He sets my feet upon the rock and helps me stand when this whole entire world is nothing more than sinking sand. He lifts up my weary head when I have nothing left to give, and he gives me strength to stay in the race. He holds me when I'm alone. He shelters me when I'm afraid. And he sees to it that I live this side of heaven, just as much as I will live on the other side with him. He gives me a calling and a mission that gets me out of bed in the morning, and a love that embraces me in the valleys and on the mountaintops and all those normal days in between. He is with me and in me and for me. And I can tell you this day, I have no doubt about that. I know he lives. In fact, I have no idea how I would live without him. My friends who are hurting this Easter, may you let the risen Jesus find you and speak victory into your pain. My friends who are afraid this Easter, may you let the risen Jesus find you and speak peace and purpose into your locked up hiding place. My friends who are disappointed and weary and so done with this crazy season this Easter, may you let the risen Jesus find you and remind you that even here, even now, he's stirring up new life in you. May you let him live deep in your heart this Easter. He lives. He lives. And if you let him in, he will even live in you. Happy Easter. He is risen indeed. Would you pray with me? Jesus, you are alive, and you are making us alive, and everything around us too. Today, would you set our eyes on you, on the reality of your presence with us, of your love for us, of your victory over death and everything that is destructive on our behalf. And in our own quarantined, fearful, weary places, would you bring victory and peace and courage and hope and joy and mission to share your love with this world. Thank you for finding us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for raising from the dead so we might raise too. Raise our hearts today, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.